John chapter 14, we'll begin in verse number 7. Would you please stand with me in honor of the Word of God this morning? John chapter 14, and let's read verse 6. We got to read verse 6. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Verse 7, "If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him." Philip saith unto him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us." Jesus saith unto him, "Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake." What I want to talk to you about here this morning is simply knowing God. Knowing God. I've read books entitled Knowing God that were good books. There's a lot of things about this subject that ought to just arrest our interest, because certainly as believers, we want to know God. And if you're here this morning and you've never experienced salvation, I've got good news for you. You can know the God of this book right here. Let's pray and ask the Lord's blessings. Father, thank you, Lord, that we can be here together, open up the Word of God, know that it's not the words of men, it's not our opinions, it's not our traditions that mean anything. It is the very words of God. As we take a look at these truths here today, we pray that you would help them to get from our ears to our minds, and more importantly, to our hearts, that we might do something about what we hear, to not be just hearers only, but to be doers of the Word. Bless us and help us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. The doctrinal truth that we're going to take a look at, really by way of introduction, is the deity of Jesus Christ. What do I mean by the deity? Deity means God. And what we're going to see here is that Jesus was and is God. And this is a controversial subject. The Muslim world contends that as Christians that we believe in three separate deities: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. In no way is their assessment in any way accurate. We believe in one God, but the Bible teaches that this one God is manifest in three different persons. We must confess that we call it the Trinity, all right? And that's not a Bible word, that's a descriptive word. It's a good word, by the way. Anything that you take one word and it describes something, that's what language is all about. But the Bible word for what we're talking about here today is the word Godhead. And the Godhead is a mystery. The Bible even says that it is. But it is taught and it is asserted clearly and numerously throughout the entire Scripture. In fact, you can go back to the very beginning where God said, "Let us make man in our image," plural. We know that God is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God made us in His image, and we have three parts to our being as well. We have a soul, and we have a spirit, and we have a body. Now, most of the time, we focus on the body aspect, the visible, physical aspect, and we're certainly living in a generation that even among Christians, so much focus is on the physical aspect. It's as if Paul did not say that bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness profiteth unto all things. How many Christians really get a hold of that? I wish that some of the younger Christians, younger believers, would put as much into their soul and spirit as they put into their biceps. We would have a revival in our land. And I'm not saying that just because I'm fluffy and jealous. I'm simply saying that, listen, there's nothing wrong. I'll be honest, when I'm in a public place and some man walks by and, you know, got some guns and, you know, just really intimidating looking, you know, usually I'll elbow my wife and say, If I took my shirt off, I'd look like that. Of course, she laughs. I laugh. We all laugh. It's never going to happen. But so much of people's focus today is on the thing that's not going to last. It's not going to matter for anything. And I'm not trying to make people feel bad for working out. Go work out. Go spend an hour in the gym, or 2 hours for that matter. But make sure that you spend at least that much time in prayer and in the Word of God and in serving the Lord. And then you'll at least have some balance in your life, you know. At least you won't be, I always tell people, if you're putting all that investment of time and money into your body, all you're doing is just creating a gourmet meal for the worms someday. It's just a worm buffet. That's all that you're investing your life in. So make sure that you develop the inner man, the spiritual man, because that's what's going to profit you. It's going to profit you in this life. It's going to make your marriage better. We were at a restaurant here a while back, and this waiter was talking. He's very friendly, and he said, "Yeah, I started going to the gym, you know." He said, "I don't have a girlfriend, and so I got to get my biceps." And I thought, that's what you're going to get a girlfriend with your biceps? And I tried not to get too preachy with him, but I thought, you know, what kind of shallow girlfriend are you going to get that you got to have biceps in order to get a girlfriend? There's so many better ways to have a meaningful, healthy, quality relationship that you actually enjoy. Maybe figure out how to be kind and sensitive and courteous and not looking at the mirror all the time. Amen. Oh, I'm gonna be real self-centered. That's gonna get me a chick. No, I don't think it works that way. I am way off track here this morning. Oh yeah, the Muslims teach that we believe in three different gods, and that's utterly false. The Jehovah's Witnesses teach that Jesus was a created being that was created by God, and the Mormons teach that Jesus was the spirit brother of Lucifer. Now, I'm not here this morning to try to be critical or controversial with other religions. That's not my point here this morning. I'm just simply saying that a lot of times some of these belief systems, they are filled with Baptists because Baptists have not been taught the Word of God. So this is important, what we're doing here today. Back in Genesis 22, and I'll tell you when it's time to turn. We're going to turn to some Bible here this morning. But just listen as I read Genesis 22, verse number 8. Abraham said, this is to Isaac, "My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering." Not for himself. God will provide himself. And that's why John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." That was God. Jesus is God. Isaiah 9, verse number 6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father." Speaking of this child that was born in Bethlehem, his name is called the Everlasting Father, capital E, capital F, according to Isaiah. Yep. Why would Jesus be called the Everlasting Father if he was not God Almighty manifest in human flesh? Take your Bibles now and go to John chapter number 1 with me. John chapter number 1. We have the beginning of the Old Testament that makes it clear that Jesus was God. We have one of the prophets later on in the Old Testament. And then we have John, who, I mean, his writings are so crystal clear. In fact, you know, speaking of like the Jehovah's Witnesses, I heard a preacher say one time that a Jehovah's Witnesses knocked on his door. He invited them in, got him a glass of iced tea, and he listened to what they had to say. And, you know, he was courteous, let them give his whole spiel. And they got done with their spiel, and he said, "Well, you know, that's all fine and well, folks, but John 1:1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Look at it with me. In the beginning was the Word. And did I quote it right? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It's a good verse to memorize. So he told them that. And they go, so they give him another, 5 minutes of spiel. And he said, well, that's all fine, but John 1:1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Well, but, and then they go through about a 5-minute spiel, and he says, well, John 1:1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And they said, if you didn't have John 1:1, you wouldn't have nothing. And he said, exactly right. If we don't have John 1:1, if Jesus isn't God, then we have nothing. Look at verse number 2. "The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made." Light bulb. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. That's who we're talking about here. In him, verse 4, was life, and the life was the light of men. Skip down with me now to verse number 10. "He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not." Verse number 14. "And the Word," capital W, same character, same subject as verse number 1, "was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." And then one more verse in verse number 18. It says, "No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him." I haven't even got halfway through my proof text here today, and we've already seen so much to say, how can anybody even argue this fact? How could any religion have thousands upon thousands of followers and teach contrary to what we're saying right here? How can they do that? Well, I'll tell you what. The devil's in the details. Nothing does Satan attack more when it comes to religion than the person of Jesus Christ. You discredit the person of Jesus Christ, you discredit everything about God. And that is what Satan has tried to take away from the Christian church. Acts 20, verse 28 says, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God." That's the church of God. Church belongs to God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. The church belongs to God. He purchased it with his own blood. What blood are we talking about? We're talking about the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the blood of God right there. And then 1 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 16, "Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh." You know, some of the other Bible versions say "he who was manifest in the flesh." Listen, I don't have a belief. I don't believe in a he who. I believe in God. Hey, do you believe in he who? No, I don't believe in he who. What would you call them? And I guess it wouldn't be an atheist, but I don't know what. You know what you call a dyslexic atheist? Someone who doesn't believe in dog. I'm joking. That was uncalled for. Stop it, preacher. Okay, I won't do that anymore. God was manifest in the flesh. That's what Paul had to say. He was justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Now take your Bibles, go to Hebrews chapter number 1 with me. Hebrews chapter number 1. A couple more and then we'll get into the actual message here this morning. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse number 1 says, "God," capital G, "who at sundry times and in divers manners," that just means different times and different ways, "spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds." There it is again. All right. "Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. You know, when I read that, I'm reminded of what we read in our opening text. Philip, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Why? Because Jesus is the express image. Didn't we see in John 1? John knew and understood that God is an invisible God. No man has seen him at any time. God is a spirit, and they that worship him. He's an invisible spirit. That is his nature. And yet God has manifested himself to us in three persons: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And the express image, if you are to look at an invisible God, who do we see? We see God the Son. We see Jesus Christ. The express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power. When he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Colossians 1:15 speaks of Jesus and says, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. And in chapter 2, verse 19, it says, for in him, Jesus, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. When Jesus Christ was here on this earth, he was also called the Son of Man. I mean, you talk about a great mystery. Jesus Christ was the Son of Man, and yet he was the Son of God. He was 100% man, and he was 100% God. Yes. You grasp that? You understand that? I don't. But you know what? There are things about a God who is much greater than me that I don't have to understand in order to be secure with him. Right. I can trust him. I can believe his word and say, you know what? I don't know how Jesus could be 100% man and 100% God. How can God know everything about the future and yet still be experience it with us in the present? How can he do that? How can we pray to him and say, God, how can we have a relationship with him as if he actually experiences our interaction, our communication? Listen, when God was walking with Adam in the cool of the garden, or the cool of the day in the garden, God knew what Adam was going to do. And does that mean that God was walking along with Adam? If you know somebody's going to stab you in the back, how are you going to act towards them? You're going to be insecure. You're going to be self-protective because you know what's going to happen. God is so perfect and so holy. He can know everything and yet can be so personal and individual in the moment with you and I when we communicate with him. That's an awesome God, folks. I don't fully grasp it. I can't comprehend it. But I tell you what, I love that about God. John said in his other epistle later on, in 1 John 5:7, he says, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. Don't ever let anybody trick you or deceive you into thinking that Jesus Christ is anything other than God manifest in the flesh. So now we know who Jesus is. So let's take maybe 15 minutes and let's get to know him. Amen? Wouldn't you like to get to know this Jesus that is God manifest in the flesh? Let's not be like the seven sons of Sceva. Let's not be like those, you know, the devil shows up there and they're trying to cast out devils and do all these religious things. And the devil showed up and they said, Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are ye? Let's not be like that. Let's know the Savior that we claim to believe in. Go to Philippians chapter number 1 with me. How do we get to know him? You know, there's a lot of different ways in which we get to know God, in which we get to know Jesus Christ. Some are simpler than others. It starts in Sunday school when we start learning what the Bible says. How do we know that Jesus loves us? Well, hopefully we start when we're young. Parents, don't minimize just the little things that the children are taught. Just even when they sing that song, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Don't minimize that, because that is instilling something that is life-changing. And something that I guarantee you, if you're like me, you're going to have times in your life where you're going to question that. Does Jesus really love me? It doesn't feel like it. My life's a wreck. Everything's going against me. How can I know? Have you ever felt like nobody loves you? I'll tell you what, when you got people that you love that reject your love, it'll send you in a tailspin. You'll start doubting everything about you. You'll certainly be doubting everything about everybody that loves you or says that they love you. How do we know? Well, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Sometimes we just got to take him at his word, folks. Here in Philippians chapter number 1, we see a very important principle. I got a misprint, my bad here. 19, verse number 19. Nope. Give me a second. I'm getting ready to find it. I'm not even close. Philippians chapter 3. I got to see where I messed up there. Oh, no, I'm right. Go back to Philippians 1. Telling that stupid joke got me off track. Philippians 1, verse 29. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. Ouch. Hey, we're taking up, we're getting ready to go do some suffering. Let's all line up. We're handing out free tickets for suffering. Anybody want to get there? No, nobody, none of us like to suffer. I hate to suffer. But you know what? People all over the world, with God or without God, saved or lost, I don't care if you're an atheist or if you, how wicked you are or how good of a neighbor that you are, everybody is going to suffer over something at one point or another in life. Amen? Yes. We're all going to suffer, whether it be physical, whether it be emotional, whether it be spiritual. There's all different kinds of suffering. Now notice in chapter 3 of Philippians and verse number 10, the Apostle Paul said, that I may know him. Would you like to know Jesus Christ? My brother-in-law worked at a plant, and there was a man that he would always tell me these stories about this guy that he worked with. He was And I saw the guy at a softball game one time. He was about a 6'4" Samoan. And I mean, we're talking about guns. He had, you know, he had shoulders about this wide, waist about this wide. His physique was just perfect. And he was big, had this big old Fu Manchu, had guns like this. I saw him hit a softball one time. But after he made contact, I never saw the softball again. I mean, it's just like, and he'd tell me all these kinds of stories. He said this guy was at a bar, and somebody upset him, and he followed him. The guy went into the restroom, and he said that this Samoan followed the guy into the restroom, ripped the door off the hinges, and beat him up with the door. Got in trouble. Spent some time in jail. Judge told him, he said, I don't ever want to see you here again, or I'm going to throw you in, you know, I'm going to throw the book at you. So anyhow, he was downtown, and somebody was robbing the local jewelry pawn shop. Somebody was robbing it, and he thought, I'm going to do a good deed. So he reached in back of his truck, got a softball bat, got the guy that was robbing the store, and beat him half to death. Ended up getting arrested for it. Judge said, I thought I told you I didn't want to see you again. He said, well, I thought I was doing something good, you know. So I'm hearing all of these stories. And I had a guy I went to school with whose sister got married. And he was telling me about this Samoan guy that she was marrying. And anyhow, this Samoan guy was related to this guy that my brother-in-law told me all these stories about. And he started going that, and I go, I know him. And then I got to thinking, it's like, I've never said a word to this guy in my whole life. He's never said a word to me. I don't know him. I just know about him because I've heard all these stories. I wonder if how many Christians, that's the way that we know God. We don't really know him. We just know all these things that we've heard about him. The way that we get to know him is a process. Some of it's learning from the Bible and just trusting it. But there's all kinds of different things that happen in our life that God allows, God orchestrates, so that we can truly know him. In 2 Timothy 1:12, Paul said, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Why could Paul speak with such confidence? Because he'd been through some suffering and he had seen how that God worked in his life. The same writer, Paul, said, yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Is there a loophole? Is there an exception? Well, preacher, I've been saved for 17 years and I've never been persecuted for my faith. Well, maybe our lives are not as godly as we think that they are, or maybe that we want them to be. Maybe we're missing something. Can I say to you this morning that America, you know, the United States of America, being a Christian is not exactly a stigma. It one day will be, I'm sure. I think we're seeing it become that. And I think that a lot of Christianity has become so watered down and like the world that there's no hope in persecution. I can be a follower of Jesus and I can be cool. Everybody will love me. And some people, they follow the Lord thinking, well, that's going to make everybody love me. Listen, if we truly follow the Lord, we're going to have to make some hard decisions in life. We're going to have to say no to some things. We're going to say, I'm not going to participate. I'm not going to have that beer with you. No, I'm not going to cut this corn. I'm not going to tell this little white lie in order to sell this product. No, I'm not going to do this. We're going to have to make some tough decisions, and it can cause some persecution. Go with me to 1 Peter chapter number 2. 1 Peter chapter number 2. I'm probably not going to sell a lot of books with this sermon today. Probably not going to get some big, huge offerings. And that's okay, because that's not the purpose of this message. The purpose of this message is so that you and I can enjoy the true benefit of knowing God. There's nothing better. Nothing better. Is there anything that is more important in life? Is there anything that comes, that gets right down to the fundamental purpose in which we are here, than just simply knowing God? I don't think there's anything. There's nothing more valuable than this, and yet none of us like suffering. So let's see a little bit more about what God says regarding our suffering. Verse 19 of 1 Peter 2 says, for this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. You ever went through something that you didn't deserve? Welcome to humanity. For what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. You know, it's not easy getting caught or getting in trouble for a failure. Maybe you messed up at work, boss finds out about it, rakes you over the coals. I mean, I had one time where I got pulled over by a police officer, and I was going 35 and a 25. I honestly thought it was a 35. Seriously, I mean, it just, it was, I thought I'm right at the speed limit. I'm not even fudging it. And he pulled me over, and I mean, he is raking me over the coals. He is just, he's not in a good mood. And I was almost to the point, I was just getting ready to say, sir, would you just write me a ticket? Fortunately, he moved on. I got a warning. That was the old days, remember? Before they became tax collectors. They were just trying to have safe roads. Now they collect taxes and, you know, you get pulled over, you're busted. But he was being so condescending and belligerent. I'm in my 20s at this time, late 20s. And I'm just like, I don't have to take this. But I'm glad that he got done before I got started because it probably saved me $75. But you know what? If he would have wrote me that ticket, wouldn't it be true that I had it coming? Well, sure. Whether I knew it or not, whether it was sincere, whatever my intentions were, I was breaking the speed limit, and I had it coming. Sometimes when we know we have it coming, it's an easier pill to swallow. But when we don't think we got it coming, those are hard pills to swallow. How do we deal with that? Human nature does not do well with those scenarios. Why didn't do it? Why should I suffer for something I didn't do? Well, look at verse 21. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. You know what I say in my soul when I read that? Ouch. Ouch. How could I be so arrogant and prideful, thinking that I didn't deserve this, I don't got this coming, why should I take it, why should I put up with it, and then I have the gall to go and talk to God as if God doesn't understand. And the Lord is like, well, hereunto were you called. Well, you just don't understand what they're doing to me, God. And then I think God's like, don't you know that Jesus, our mediator, when we talk like that, he's looking at these nail prints and is, oh, yeah, I have no idea what you're talking about. Yeah, tell me about it. I need to understand you. We're ridiculous most of the time, aren't we? When we play the victim card and we just think, oh, I didn't. Yeah, I'm not saying they're easy pills to swallow. They're horrible pills to swallow. But the fact remains that God allows these things in our life if we will let it, if we will commit. Look what he says, but he committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. If we will commit ourselves to the Lord, guess what happens in this process? We learn a little bit more about Jesus Christ. It's like, oh, now I understand what you went through, Jesus. We read it in the Gospels. Oh, they cried, crucify him, crucify him. They said, they spit upon him and they plucked his, you know. We read about Isaiah. He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with griefs and so forth. We read it, we believe it, but we don't really, we can't relate to how Jesus actually felt. You know, we don't really interact, we don't connect with one another until we connect at an emotional level. You know, your husband-wife relationship, it's definitely not all physical. If it is, it's shallow and it's not going to withstand the storms of life. It can't just be mental. It's not textbook. We're complicated human beings. And you think you got it all figured out. Husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. Oh, that's a good one, God. You want me to know and understand my wife. Okay, I got it all figured out. And then something comes in life and they change. How many, I don't ask you to raise, don't raise your hand, please don't. But how many husbands think it's like as soon as I get it figured out, something changes? Why are you ladies the one doing the laughing this morning? I guess because it's not funny to us men. Hey, relation, a meaningful relationship, we have to connect at an emotional level. We cannot connect with Jesus until we do it at an emotional level, and that means we're going to have to go through some sorrow, some grief, and yes, some rejection. 1 Peter chapter 5, I'm wrapping up here this morning. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 10, "But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while," I'm glad he says a while, don't you? "Make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you." It's for our good, and it's so that we can know him. Go to 1 John chapter 1. It's just a few pages over from where we're at. 1 John chapter number 1. So suffering is part of it. Another important part of knowing God has to do with understanding and applying the blood that Jesus shed upon the cross of Calvary. 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 5 says, "This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin." If we ever have an accurate assessment or self-awareness, if our self-awareness is accurate, then we're going to be a lot like Isaiah. When Isaiah said he saw the Lord high and lifted up, he said, "Woe is me, for I am undone." He said, "I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell amongst a people of unclean lips." He said, "All of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags." Isaiah really did well in the area of accurate self-awareness. If we are accurate in our self-awareness, is that going to draw us close to the Lord, or is it going to cause us to... God is holy. We know everything about God is holy and perfect. He knows everything about us. Without the blood of Jesus Christ, the truth would drive us away from a holy God. But thank God, because of the blood of Jesus Christ, the truth, we can look in the mirror and see who we are, but we can look at God and see who he is, and that he loves us still, and that he cleanses us from all of our sin, not by our own self-reformation, not by our works, but rather by the precious blood of his Son, Jesus Christ, that makes us clean. What a blessing that we can have. We can know God through the blood of Jesus Christ. I came across this past week. It's a letter from God. It sort of relates to the message, but it's so good whether it related or not. I got to read it to you. "To my child, good morning. This is God. Today, I will be handling all of your problems. Please remember that I do not need your help. If you encounter a situation you cannot handle, do not attempt to resolve it. Kindly put it in the SFGTD box, something for God to do box. It will be addressed in my time, not yours. Once the matter is placed into the box, do not hold on to it nor remove it. Holding on or removal will delay the resolution of your problem. If it is a situation you think you are capable of handling, please consult me in prayer to be sure that it is the proper resolution. Because I do not sleep, nor do I slumber, there is no need for you to lose any sleep. Please rest, my child. If you need to contact me, I am only a prayer away. My prayer line is open 24 hours of your day. I love you and will always be with you wherever you may go. As with all good things, pass my message on. Love, God." Isn't that wonderful? It's a little convicting to me, some of the things that I just read. If I try to resolve it myself, God says it'll only delay the process. Well, I can sure relate to that one. In Galatians 4:9, Paul said to the churches of Galatia, he says, "But now after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, why turn ye to the weak and beggarly elements? The most important thing, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, is not that we know God, but rather that He knows us. There's a very sobering, actually scary portion of Scripture. Jesus said it several times, but this one in Matthew 7, verse 23, where the Lord says, here's someone standing before Him that's been very religious, been very good, and said, you know, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in Thy name? We preached Your word. Have we not done this? Have we not done that? And the Lord says, then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I want to know God here this morning, but more importantly, I'm glad that He knows me. My name is written in the book of life. I got it there when, as a little boy, I recognized I was a sinner in need of a Savior, and that Jesus Christ had died on the cross and paid for my sins, and I wanted to receive Him, His payment. I wanted to receive everything about Him. I didn't understand a whole lot, but I knew that I was a sinner and He was the Savior, and I asked Him to save me, and He did. Thank God, I can rest assured, like Paul did, I know whom I have believed. Does God know you here this morning? If He doesn't know you, then you need to come to Him as a sinner and say, Lord, I need Your salvation. Will you bow your heads as we go to the Lord in prayer this morning?